The God of the mountains, still God in the valley. Amen. If you have a Bible, turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Boy, what a great chapter. What a great portion of scripture. Yes. Would Aiden like to go to check? You can go. You want to stay? You want to go? Stay out of the cookies, buddy. Surprised more people didn't get up and leave. James chapter 1 is a wonderful, wonderful chapter. It's so familiar. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It says, let patience have its perfect work. Verse 8, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. I mean, it just goes on and on. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Verse 25, be not a forgetful hearer. Verse 27, pure religion, it tells you what it is. It's just chock full of truth. And we're going to look at verse 17 today, just one verse, James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift cometh from above. God is a gift giver. He gives wisdom. He gives comfort. Amen. He gives mercy and grace. And most of all, he gives salvation. And we'll see that today. And, you know, it's just such a blessing when you recognize all of that. And then you can experience that gift exchange. He gave us his righteousness and we gave him our sin. So he paid for our sin on the cross. We're free. We're set free from the penalty of sin. That's such a blessing. Let's ask God's blessing on his word. Father, thank you for the truth of the scripture and for the power of God. And I pray they would work in every heart today. Meet our needs, minister to us, but help us to see how wonderful you've been to us. May we follow you and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. What God gives is good for us. Sometimes we don't think it is, but it always is. He's the gift giver. Come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain help in time of need. So if you come, you can have help. The Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's a lot in the Bible about rewards and blessings from following the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You cannot describe it. It's unspeakable. And of course, that's talking about his salvation. Romans 5, the gift by grace. And then three times in Romans chapter 5, it talks about that grace, that salvation, as being a free gift. That's what a gift is. Amen? If somebody's going to give you a gift, you don't have to pay them. It's been paid for by the giver. And all it needs to do is be received by the recipient. Isn't that a blessing? And that's what God does for us all the time. Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, etc., etc., etc. We read through the Bible about all his gifts, and they're wonderful gifts. Again, the greatest one is salvation, but God will gift you with comfort and peace and joy. He does that. It's a blessing to have that. You know, as you go through the scriptures, and the Bible says that a gift makes way for you. It appeases somebody else's anger. Somebody's mad at you, buy them a gift. Amen? Man, I'm mad at all of you. All of you. I am just so mad. But anyway, put that in the back burner. But in Genesis chapter 32, Jacob had a falling out with his brother. And boy, it was much more severe than a falling out. He deceived his father, stole the birthright. Esau wanted to kill him. And because of that, he was advised by his mother to take off. And he did. And for years, he was away from home. And finally, he's on his way back years and years later. And he hears that Esau is coming out to meet him with 400 men. What would you think? You know, oh, great. It's not a welcoming committee. You know, he's going to hurt me and harm me. And so Jacob decides to send a gift to his brother. And the Bible says it was 220 goats, 200 sheep, 200 rams, camels, kine, and four rabbits. I made up the four rabbits part. But he gave all of these, sent all of these things. And Esau was kind and forgave him. Amen? That was a blessing, kind of like a gift exchange. You read about Solomon, wise man, the Queen of Sheba heard about that. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 9:1, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem and with a very great company and camels that bear spices, gold in abundance, and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And when she gets done and she's going to go back, she says to him, the half has not been told. What I've seen has been absolutely miraculous. I heard you were a wise king, and so I came bringing a gift, and I wanted to prove you with hard questions. In the New Testament, Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here, and he is wisdom incarnate. Jesus Christ is. And you can come and prove him with hard questions, and he will always show himself strong and wise. Amen? But the difference is sometimes we don't come and bring a gift to him. But that's what the Queen of Sheba did, and there was a gift exchange there. We have in Matthew chapter 2, our Lord is born, and the wise men were coming to see him, and they followed the star. That was a miracle in itself. It led them right to where they needed to be. And they brought some gifts with them. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These were very wealthy men, and they brought very expensive gifts. They traveled a long way, they gave the gifts to the Lord, and then they went their way. Think of that. That whole trip was just to give those gifts to the Lord. They must have really had an insight and an understanding of who Jesus really was, to make that trip and do that, and then just go back. You say, well, the Bible doesn't say they got a gift. God is no man's debtor. It's not recorded for us, but I'm sure they got some kind of a gift. Think of their trip on the way back. We saw him. We worshiped him. We gave gifts to him, and now that was fulfilled. I think that's a blessing. And whenever you give a gift to God, it's like Mary with the ointment of the... she broke the vessel and poured the ointment on him. And the disciples said, why was this wasted, the ointment made? Jesus said, let her alone. She hath wrought a good work on me. Wheresoever the gospel is preached, this with it, what this woman has done, shall be spoken of for a memorial unto her. She gave the most expensive gift that she could give to the Lord. A gift is of no value unless it's received. And when you receive the gift of God, that is a blessing. I've gotten some gifts in my life that I wasn't real excited about, you know. Somebody gave me their electric bill once. That's not a nice gift, but they did. I mean, we have our, what do you call it, the white elephant gift? The idea of the white elephant gift is to bring a worthless, stupid gift, not something nice. And I want to make sure I'm really making that clear now. Because last year when we did that, there were some really nice gifts. And I'm sitting there thinking, no, this is white elephant. You bring dumb stuff. You bring stuff that you want to throw away. Amen? But when you get a good gift, that's a blessing. And you know somebody, and depending on the sacrifice that was made for that gift. But you need to be a receiver to enjoy that gift. Proverbs 4:13. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Take what he gives. Take fast hold of instruction. We go to the Bible, it's full of instruction for us. And that's a blessing. And here's the principle. Proverbs 19:20. Hear counsel and receive instruction. When you hear the counsel, when you hear the word of God, you receive it. You accept it as the gift of God. God is giving you instruction. He's giving you knowledge. That's a blessing. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power. If you receive God, you will receive power. And it says, receive power. What's the rest of the verse? To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. When did you receive Christ as your Savior? Just think about it. You don't have to answer to that. When did you receive Christ as your Savior? It followed when you heard that Christ was the Savior. You couldn't receive what you didn't hear. Here's the principle. You need to hear so you know what to receive. Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. We trusted because we heard, and we trusted in the word. Romans 10:14. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? So you have to hear the truth before you can receive the truth. You have to hear about wisdom before you can have that wisdom. God teaches us that. I want to bring out three things that we're supposed to take today. And the first one, obviously, is salvation. Psalm 116:13. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. God desires all men everywhere to be saved. So He wants us all to receive salvation from Him. Take the cup of salvation. Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever bought a gift for somebody that didn't buy you something? And maybe they overlooked it, and so next year they overlooked it, so they'll probably get me a gift again. And so you buy them a gift, and then they buy you a gift, and you start this exchange. Amen? That's a blessing. It's an enjoyable thing to do. Sometimes we buy gifts for people that don't give us gifts, and we just do that as a sacrifice, but that's because of our heart. But it's good when it's mutual. And the Lord says, my son, give me thine heart. Here's some things we can give to the Lord. Only because we're saved. Only because we're saved. Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Here's another one. Psalm 96:9. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 29:2. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. God gives. We receive. And then we give our hearts back to the Lord. We love Him because He first loved us. We've received the love of God, and so now we want to love God back. The Bible talks about that, amen? So God gives us something, we receive it, and then we give something back to God. But we also share that gift with other people. Because the gifts that God gives are not just minuscule. They're huge. They fill the universe. His love, His mercy, amen? It's a blessing to be able to share those things. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2, God said to Abraham, I will bless thee. He's going to receive the blessing and make you a blessing. Because I'm going to bless you, you're going to be so blessed that people that get around you, they're going to be blessed too. Amen? You have 2 Corinthians 1:4. The God of all comfort, who's able to comfort us in all our tribulation. And then we take that comfort, and the Bible says, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. So God gives us the gift of comfort. That's a good gift to have. And then we give that to other people. If God gives you the gift of His mercy, why can't you thank Him for that and then give some of that mercy to other people? Amen? Sounds good. If God gives you the gift of love, why can't you thank Him for that and love one another with a pure heart fervently? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is, that next word, which is given unto us. So God gives it to us, and we just spread the love. Amen? Take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 25. This is the parable of the talents. I'm sure you've read this before. It's in other Gospels also. But we'll begin reading in verse 14. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. I'll wait till you get there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Okay, Matthew 25, 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. He gave his goods. Here's the verse. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. He gave something to 3 people. 2 wisely invested that and brought more about so they could give back to the master. 1 just hid it and wasted it, and it just stayed the same. The master wasn't blessed or pleased. We can tell that by the context. God offers the cup of salvation to everybody. Everybody. And those that receive it, share it. Because they receive it, they give something back to the Lord. Obviously not salvation, but praise we looked at, thanksgiving, amen. All of those that worship, we do that because of the great gift that he gave us. And that's just in us to do that. We love him because he first loved us. He gave us love, we give him love back. But that love, our cup just spills over because the gift is so great. That's why it fills the cup, and that spills on all those people around us. But there's another thing he says to take. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you. Take the cup of salvation, take my yoke upon you. This is the natural progression of a saved person. We have a newborn babe who desires the milk of the word that they might grow thereby, and so they begin to grow, and they become a young person like Aiden. Amen? And now he's all over the place, right? He's got all the energy, and he's running here and there. And then he starts to be able to talk. Then they go to school. Then they learn this. Then they learn that. Pretty soon, they're retiring from work, right? Boy, the time goes just like that. But I mean, they grow in the knowledge of the Lord. That's spiritually speaking. Here he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. This is speaking of fellowship. It's speaking of service. It's speaking of direction. All of those things that God gives us after we're saved. So he says, now that you're saved, take my yoke upon you. This is the Lord giving this example. And a yoke was a wooden beam sometimes used between a pair of oxen or other animals to enable them to pull together on a load when working in pairs. If you're not willing to take that yoke upon you, God will find somebody else that will take that yoke upon them. And then they will be the ones that follow the Lord and help the Lord do his work. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, we are laborers together with God. What a privilege that is. So he says, take my yoke upon you. And, you know, if we, I think this is true. I read it somewhere. I think it was on the internet, so it has to be true. But they would have a yoke of oxen, and they would put a younger ox in with the older one. And the older one would kind of direct everything. He knew the work to do, and so he would do it. And the young one learned from that old one. When we hook up with the Lord, amen, it's not our wisdom, it's his wisdom. And we follow him, and that's a blessing. And there's a crop that is produced. Seed is planted. Crops are harvested. And it's all because we're working with the Lord. I want to work with him. I don't want to work against him. Amen? He saved my soul. I'm on my way to heaven. And it could be very soon if you watch the news or read the Bible. either way, you know, that all fit together. But I want to work for the Lord and accomplish something for Him. And one preacher wrote this. He said, when He stands still, you stand still. When He pulls, you pull. In this way, you will be having fellowship with Him in service. You will be co-workers with Him. So He says, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. And so we want to do that. He'll teach us how to plow. Amen? You follow the Lord, He'll teach you how to share that gift of salvation with other people. He's meek and lowly. There's a verse that says, we are taught of God to love one another. You ought to love everybody here. You say, well, somebody here is my enemy. You love your enemies. Amen? God will teach you how to do that. It's a blessing to have that. It eliminates all the bitterness. So He will teach you how to plow. Psalm 32:8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Philippians 2. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and do of His good pleasure. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. That's what God says. I get saved because I heard the gospel. That's how you got saved. You heard the gospel. And then you trusted in the gospel. There was a day of salvation. There was an accepted time when you accepted the Lord. You were born again, the Bible says. And now that you're saved, man, look what God did for me. Wow, He died for me. I'm going to live for Him. And it's a spiritual work. It's the Spirit of God working in your heart so you will serve the Lord and honor Him. And so we gladly, man, yeah, I'll work for you, Lord. Just show me a direction. Well, take My yoke. I'll give you a direction. You can learn of Me. I'll help you. And then you can be a co-worker with Me. That's a blessing. So that's where we're at right now. I think that's a good place to be. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Paul said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. His grace is sufficient. And it doesn't matter the cost. We just start to serve Him. The gift of grace, the gift of strength, the gift of His fellowship. We grow in grace and knowledge. Now comes spiritual maturity. We're saved, newborn babe in Christ. Okay, this, God says, this is what I want you to do for Me. Learn of Me. And so we take the yoke upon us and we learn of God and we start to serve the Lord. Amen? That's what we do. That's what you did after you got saved. But this is where the Lord loses many of His followers. And it's His instruction. Take up your cross. The Bible says, Luke 9:23, He said unto them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. Now we enter from fellowship with the Lord to a spiritual battle. The battle is against the flesh, the world, and the devil. And our flesh sometimes gets weak. Sometimes the devil, the world, the flesh gets a victory. But God wants us to have the victory over that. But that is bearing our cross. And I want to explain that. There's a lot of different ideas on that. I would say if your burden is too heavy in the yoke, something is wrong. Something isn't right. Maybe there's not a surrender to what God wants you to do. And we'll see that as we get into this a little bit further. But anyway, He says, take up your cross daily and follow Me. Take the cup, take the yoke, take the cross. Amen. I love reading about the miracles of God. Sometimes you'll read a book, a missionary book, and you'll see what God did. I've been on the mission field. I've seen some miraculous things happen, even in church or one-on-one with people. And you see God do something, and it's a marvelous thing to do. I like to come to church, and I like God to give me a message on joy. And so we all get up, and we skip around the auditorium and flap our wings, amen? And we're just as happy as we can be. Oh, that was so comforting. Oh, that was such a wonderful truth. Oh, the doctrine there is so instructive. That's so wonderful. But when you talk about surrender, and when you talk about sacrifice for the Lord, sometimes it changes. Sometimes it's more demanding. Sometimes It's more focused on what we should do for the Lord. Nevertheless, it's something that God says to take. Take salvation, take my yoke, take up your cross daily. He says that. It can't be bad for us, because every good and perfect gift comes from above. So when God tells us something, that is a blessing. Amen? All things work together for good, and we'll see that as we get into this. Right when we're traveling down the road of fellowship and service, amen, glory to God, here comes a cross. Here comes some new instruction, a cross, suffering. Not my will, but thy will be done. Don't you enjoy doing your will? Do you enjoy that? Well, this is how I think I will do this. And somebody comes along and says, you can't do it that way. Can't do it that way. And you have to submit to the will of another. Some people have good bosses, good jobs. Other people do not like where they work. Amen? Some people, all of their family, everybody in the family is so wonderfully connected. Amen? It's just everybody. They all get together and they're just trying to please each other. And it's a Hallmark movie is what it is. You know, it's just such a wonderful time. It doesn't work like that. Amen? And even the Christian life. God sometimes tells us to do something that we don't want to do, or maybe something we won't do, and that keeps us from bearing our cross, and there's implications to that. 1 Peter 4:16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but glorify God on his behalf. Don't suffer as an evildoer, as a murderer, your busybody in other men's matters, but if you suffer as a Christian, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Acts chapter 9, this is what God is going to require of the Apostle Paul. It says, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. We have been conscious of his fellowship. Some people, You fellowship with the Lord, you love the Lord, but now we come to the place where we have to experience the cross. And a cross is not an easy thing to experience. A cross is very sacrificial, a lot of suffering. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Amen. If the verse ended there, man, I know God and I know the power of his resurrection. But it goes on and says, and the fellowship of his sufferings, the fellowship of God's sufferings. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. If any man will come after me, followers of Christ, they were called Christians. That's what we're called. Acts chapter 11. They were first called Christians in Antioch. It's more than a title. Let him deny himself. Man, are you ready for this? Well, no, I'd rather have something different today. Let him deny himself. You have to say no to your will. Amen? And yes to the will of God. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Paul said, I die daily. Do you have good days and bad days? One day, here's one day. Man, God, I'll do anything. I will do anything. And the next day is, God? God? What do you mean, God? You know? And it's almost like some days you're so surrendered and other days you're saying, this ain't working for me. You know, this just isn't working for me. I come to church and the pastor preaches something I don't like. Maybe God's testing you. Amen? But that gives me a way out too. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I die daily. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, then it brings forth fruit. Some this, this, and this. And we have to die to bring forth that fruit. Paul didn't mean he physically died. I die daily. Some days are harder than other days. And we do those days because God simply says, my will, not your will, my will. God says, do my will. That's the cross. It's something that takes place. Take up his cross daily and follow me. What is your cross? You ever thought about that? People aren't your cross. This is your cross. This is something you have to carry. I heard this defined, and I think this is spot on. It is that which will crucify the capital I in you that will determine your cross. It is that which will crucify I in you that will determine your cross. So here's, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will. I'm crucifying the I in me, but thy will be done. This is the scripture. This is clear. Amen? And so we do that for the Lord. A.W. Pink said, taking up my cross means a life voluntarily surrendered to God. Watchman Nee said, self-pity, self-love, fear of suffering. You have any of those? I got all of them. I think we all have the same thing, you know. With withdrawal from the cross, these are some of the manifestations of the soul life. For its prime motivation is self-preservation. It's exceedingly reluctant to endure any loss. We want things to go forward. We want things to be comfortable. We want things to work out to our benefit. We want to serve the Lord, but we want all of that to happen as we serve the Lord. And so we think, well, if I serve the Lord, man, life's going to be a breeze. No, sometimes it gets harder. Sometimes people get saved and they think, man, all my problems are over. Sometimes you get saved and all your problems just start. But you have somebody to go with you. You have somebody that strengthens you, helps you, guides you, comforts you. Amen? That's what he does for us. Take up the cross. So he said, take the cup of salvation. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and take up daily your cross, but you deny yourself. There's a couple songs. We sang one of them, written by Isaac Watts. And this was written in 1707, when I survey the wondrous cross. 1707. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, we just sang it. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. The last verse of that song says, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. What if God demanded all that? Obviously he's not, amen. I'm not trying to work anything out, but God may want us to witness. God may want us to be faithful church. God may want us to help, to serve, to give. And that is something he wants us to do. We should do that. That was 1707. 14 years later, the same writer, Isaac Watts, wrote, am I a soldier of the cross? When I survey the wondrous cross, and then am I a soldier of the cross? Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend of grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Jesus took our sins and he was nailed to that cross. He was mocked. He was belittled. He could have called 10,000 angels and they would have delivered him in an instant. But he died for us. Amen? Because that fulfilled the word of God. For this cause came I into the world. And he was talking about that the whole time he was here. He must go up to Jerusalem and die. He would be in the grave 3 days. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 nights, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And he was giving pictures. He was always instructing. The disciples didn't get it. It didn't matter if he had any support. All men forsook him. Everybody. He died alone. Amen? He didn't have any help. He was given to those that beat him and mocked him and then nailed to that cross. He died for the sins of the world. Everybody here has got eternal life, if you have it, because of Jesus' sacrifice. And there was a man that was crucified next to him. Actually, there were two that had mocked him earlier, but now said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And there's Jesus hanging on the cross. He would have died if it just was for one person. And sometimes when you're carrying your cross and it's not your will, it's his will, God will put you next to someone that needs him but has to see your faith, has to see your sacrifice, has to see your will die and God's will to live. Amen? That if God and our relationship to Him is not important enough to sacrifice or suffer for His namesake, what is it worth? And the world looks at Christians sometimes and say, man, you're just like me. You're worse than me. You know, and I've got all the toys and the bells and the whistles, and I'm just living my life comfortable. You need to read Psalm 73. David saw that, and he said, so foolish am I, until he went into the house of God. And then he said, no, they're the ones that are foolish. I'm going to be with God forever. It has to mean something to us. So we don't stop with just taking the yoke. We go on and we take the cross. And that's suffering. And we do it willingly and we do it gladly because God has a work to do. Paul said in Philippians 3, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. That's not the big part of this verse. Whom I have suffered the loss of all things. The big part of that verse is, and count them but dung. I've suffered the loss of everything in my life, and it's no big deal to me because I can win Christ. I can serve Christ. Wasn't it the same way with Moses? He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather to enjoy the treasures of Egypt for a season, and he esteemed that choice greater than all the riches in Egypt. What a blessing that is. We get up early. Amen. We come to church. We put our offering in. We go home. But God has a whole work for us to do that whole week where people can see our faith. That's carrying a cross. There's some heavy crosses here. I know your stories, a lot of your stories. You've confided in us. We prayed with you. We pray for you. We know your stories. They're heavy crosses. But God's helping you carry that cross. And somebody's watching how you respond while you're on that cross. There's a farmer. He had a beautiful farm. I mean beautiful. The barn was just freshly painted. The grass was lush. Wasn't a weed in it anywhere. The house was white, green roof. The silos were there. I mean, just a beautiful farm. The fence, sometimes you go to a farm and you see the fence, it's kind of crooked and broke down, or there's a hole. This was beautiful. All the acres were fenced in. It was just wonderful. And somebody came up and they were talking to him and said, man, you have a nice farm. And he began to say all those things. He says, yeah, there's not one weed in this yard. And the guy said, well, while I've been here, I was looking, and I don't see any corn planted. He says, no, I don't have any corn planted. And he said, well, what kind of crops do you have planted? He said, well, I don't have any crops planted. Well, what's in your barn? You got any hay in the barn? Any animals? No, there's no animals in there. I think there's a verse in Proverbs that talks about, you know, when there's a lot of animals, it's a mess. And some people don't like the mess in the barn, you know. And anyway, he says, no, we don't have any animals. Beautiful barn. Well, don't you have any seed anywhere that you could plant? He said, no, there's no seed at all. No. But isn't this a beautiful barn? Isn't this a beautiful farm? Man, I mean, the rolling hills and just so beautiful. But no fruit, no crops, no animals, no seed, nothing. We have a nice building. Amen? And we got seed. The seed is the Word of God. And we have people where there's fruit. There's people that have been saved here. Amen? And I think you ought to have a nice building. I think you ought to get new things. It's to bring people in. That's what we use it for. Not to say, hey, we just repaved our parking lot. That's not, amen? That's not what pleases the Lord. Here's what pleases the Lord. That we share the gift that He's given us with other people. Amen. That we go where He wants us to go. We carry the burden that He wants us to carry. We want to praise Him and glorify Him in the trial, and people will be saved. Amen? Take what He has to give, because every good and perfect gift is from above, and all things work together for good. There are hard times. There are hard times, but somebody's going to see those hard times and trust Him. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank You for Your word today. Oh, Lord, all of us have burdens, and I pray we'd learn how to cast those burdens upon You. I pray that as You have given us a gift of comfort, that we would share that with someone else, not add to their burden. I pray, Lord, that You would use Your instruction today to guide us, to instruct us, to help us, that we might be profitable for You. Bless Your precious word, and bless these precious people today. May You be their strength and their help. In Jesus' name, amen.